All right, good morning, everyone. How are you all?
Good.
Good. All right, well, please pray for me this morning. I'm in bad shape. I feel pretty weak, cloudy. I'm sick, definitely. Just got sick yesterday. And, yeah, I just need, like, prayer support today because, cloudy is not good. And so I can't, what was I forgetting yesterday? What did I forget? Yeah, man, you guys were in testimonies and I called up Mimi and Preston, put the phone down there for you guys, and I wanted a substitute for Bob to watch the little children so that he could actually be a part of the testimonies. So I said, Bobby, why don't you go and be a part of the testimonies? He goes, no, you're sick, Pastor Alex, why don't you just rest? I'm like, no. Kids, I'll just be a curmudgeon. I'll be a mean, Scroogey guy today. But you should go in and be blessed with the testimony. So he went in. And then like 30 minutes before the end, I was like, there's an older man who came to talk with me. He's the grandfather of that little girl in high school fellowship. She's really quiet.
Sunny.
Sonny's grandfather, and so Sonny's grandfather comes to talk with me, and he's like, hey, he says something like, oh, 公园在哪里? 公园在哪里? Right? And I'm like, 公园 is like right where I'm standing, because I'm in the 公园, right, of the church. He's like, 是在这里吗? I'm like, what? And I'm already cloudy, so I'm like, yeah, it's right here. 这里,下个礼拜在这里. I'm like, what? 下个礼拜公园 is here. What are you talking about? I'm like, and I was thinking in my mind, I'm like, I don't even want to talk to people right now because I'm so cloudy. And then he goes, oh, 下个礼拜在这里啊. And I'm like, uh-huh. 公园 is right here. He goes, oh, 是几点开始? I'm like, what? This is fellowship, dude. 七点钟开始, just right here. He goes, oh, 我以为是四点钟开始. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. He goes, oh, 我说公园不是在这里. 公园是在 Red Hill. And he was like, huh? Oh, 那在哪里? I'm like, oh, 我来 text 给你一下. So I grab for my phone. And I'm like, oh, 我电话放哪里? And then he's like, oh, 我不知道. And then I'm like, okay. 我们去找一下我的电话. So I said, I'll text it to you. So I'm like walking around, backtracking as cloudy as I am. I'm like going through every room, and he's just following me around. I'm like, hold on, 再等一下. We go to the bathroom. I'm like, did I leave in the bathroom? Then finally I go to the fellowship hall, and I was like, guys, did you guys see my phone anywhere? And people in the back were like, ah, yeah, it's right up there. You're using it. So I completely forgot. All that to say, I'm in bad shape. So pray for me, and thank God that grandfather is a Christian, and he was patient with me, because when I was saying, 公园在哪里? 我们现在这个就是公园, I'm like, come on, man, right here is the 公园, but now we know. So pray for me. Anybody else have any prayer requests besides me for being sick? I was feeling so golden on Friday, and then I just got, yeah. Lucy, hi.
I would just say, pray for my mom. She's
yes.
Also
okay, good.
She's like popping a lot.
Okay, I just said good. I didn't mean to say good. I just said like good, and thank you for bringing that up. Okay. Also, pray for Lucy's mom's salvation and her grandma's salvation. Believe it or not, I think her grandmother only speaks Cantonese. And because Lucy brought this up at prayer meeting, I think Jennifer went to meet her already, right? And hopefully pray for Jennifer to have a chance to share the gospel, where like Mabel speaks Cantonese, right? So let's pray for Lucy's family salvation. Okay, anybody else, prayer request this morning? Okay, no other prayer requests? Okay.
And then it's like really bad weather.
Okay. Where's he at? Is he down in like Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, he's in Florida. Okay, yeah, that's pretty bad. So he's stuck there.
Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta. Okay, that's pretty close. Okay. All right, we'll pray for your, we'll pray for your dad. Anybody else has prayer requests this morning? Father, we thank you this morning that as we come before you, we need to be dependent upon our God. And Lord, I pray for anyone who is feeling under the weather or feeling sick. And oftentimes, sicknesses remind me of how weak I really am. And even this morning, I realized that on any given Sunday, when I think about Sunday school and preaching the sermon or even a elders deacons meeting like I have lined up today, Lord, I have a sense of excitement. And it seems like your strength is something I take for granted. And Lord, it's when we're sick then we realize, Lord, that we are frail. And that each day we need to depend on you for strength. And so, Lord, I pray that you lift up anyone in this room who's not feeling well. But we pray, especially right now, for Lucy's mother, who's also sick, that you rest your hand on her as well. But, Lord, whenever I think of Lucy's mother and grandmother and family members, Lord, I hear her prayer request that she shared for their salvation. And so we lift their salvation into your hands. Lord, I pray that Lucy would realize that having only recently put her trust in you, experiencing the new life that you've given to her, I pray that she would know that she is called to be the salt and the light, and that she would be the light in a darkened family, that they would see Jesus, the lordship of Jesus in her life. Father, we pray for Saviera's dad, who's in Atlanta right now on a business trip, and all the storms that are raging there. I pray for his safety, but I also want to pray for his faith as well, Lord, that he would grow in the manner that you would desire him to. I pray for Saviera's father to truly be able to experience the new life of Christ in his own life, and Lord, we pray to see that family worship you together. Lord, this morning I also just remember our dear brother and sister and the younger brother. Lord, I pray for Julia and Kevin and Ethan. Lord, we continue to lift them into your hands. This is our first Sunday without them here, and we remember them. But we know that they're at church. We know that you're guiding them and leading them. And I pray that as they find a church that is suitable for them, I pray that Kevin especially will be able to find real deep and genuine, meaningful fellowship in Christ. And I pray for Julia as well, for her job situation and also for her own faith. So Father, we thank you that we can put all these things into your hands. We thank you that we can trust in you because you are worthy of us giving you our requests, big or small. Nothing is too hard for you to carry for us. And so we look forward to the way that you answer these prayers. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so here we are. We're on our third week of Isaiah. Okay? I'm going to review until I start hearing the answer. I don't even know. I think so. Yes, I am. Okay. So tell me. What do you guys know about the author of Isaiah? Tell me some facts, please. Let's go as fast as we can. Okay, son of Amoz. What else do you know about his name? Okay, salvation of Yah, because you see it in his name, Isaiah. What other names did we look at for Isaiah? Besides Isaiah with Yahweh in there, who else did we see? Yah? Who else did we see for their names? We saw Elijah. El in Hebrew is what? El Elyon. El Adonai. God, thank you. So Elijah would mean Yahweh is God. Good. What else did we learn about Yah names? Jeremiah. Okay, Jeremiah. It's a little bit more richer in its meaning, right? And the name means what? Jeremiah's main name means what? Appointed or established by God. Very good. And then, not a name, but something that we want to praise God with. We hear the Hebrews use it all the Jews use it all the time. We have to hallelujah, which is saying what? What is hallelujah, Joshua? Praise be to Yah. Okay, Pastor JJ and I used to love this acoustic. What do you call it when people sing without music? Acapella. We love acapella. And there was a group that I think he found when he used to buy CDs for music. He used to buy tons of them. And I would listen to them. And there's a song that goes, talk to Yah, talk to Yah, talk to Yah. And I was like, what is that? Talk to Yah. Yah, that's talk to Yahweh. Talk to Yahweh, talk to Yah. Okay, that's the first time that I learned about Yah, meaning the Lord, but I didn't actually know that was Yah for Yahweh. Okay, good. Hallelujah. Praise be to Yah. All right, what else do you know about the book? What else do we know about it? Okay, oh, good, right? How about where it belongs in this spectrum? What are the four different types of literature that we covered? We covered that there's a Pentateuch, which is the first what? Five books of the Bible. There is the what? Historical books, right? Which is like what? Begins with where? Okay, Joshua. All the way to where? Esther, very good. And then we have the what type books? Wisdom and poetry books, right? That's a pretty good chunk, including what? Come on, these are just facts for you guys to learn, right? We've already gone through these in the past as well in Sunday school. I just want you guys to also have some education, right? So come on. Psalms, right? Proverbs. Job, right? Mm-hmm. Proverbs, okay? Wisdom books, poetry books. Last type of basic type of literature in the Old Testament is?
Prophecy,
very good. And where do we find the book of Isaiah? It's a prophecy book, right? Now, when we covered the historical books, we looked at different periods. What are the different periods that we see in Israel's history? For the historical books, where they began. Okay, who said it? Conquest, correct. Conquest, which is... We see a lot of the conquest and judging in the book of what? Yes, you see Judges, right? Very good. I just said it, right? What else do you guys see? What's another, what came after the conquest and Judges period? The United Kingdom, starting with the first king, the first monarch that Israel wanted. They wanted a king to be like what? To be like the nations around them. So who was the first king? Saul, very good. After that? David. And then after that? Solomon. And then what happened after Solomon? We had the divided kingdom, right? Okay, everybody say divided kingdom. Divided. Right? After a divided kingdom, then what happened?
Conquered.
Yes, who was conquered? Because the kingdom was divided into what? Two halves. You have what? Israel, which is all of the tribes, and Judah. And who was conquered first? Israel was conquered first. By who? Assyria. Very good, Joshua. Joshua's like on the money this morning. Okay? And after Assyria was taken captive, then it was the what period? It was called the solitary kingdom. Because they were alone. They were solitary. Until Judah was conquered by who? Babylon. Very good. So Judah then was captured by Babylon. And then after that, we have a lot of prophets writing in the time of the exile and post-exile period, right? They were exiled away. They were captured. That's another way for saying that. And then they were brought back, right? Very good. I'm glad you guys remember that. And the book of Isaiah, where did the book of Isaiah take place in this? Or where do a lot of the prophecies take place? Yes, in solitary kingdom and exilic, post-exilic period, okay? And that's where we find ourselves in the book of Isaiah. Okay, very good. All right, you guys saw this, you guys remember this, right? You can see his counterparts at that time. Great. Okay, theme statements. What is our theme statement for the book of Isaiah? We only have about probably 4 to 5 more weeks in Isaiah. You guys got to have this memorized down. Ready? Let's try it. Theme statement. Anybody remember the theme statement?
The Lord saves.
Not the Lord saves. I'll give you a quick look at it. Ready? Ready? Okay, you see it? Yes, there's an and. Ready? Okay, you see it? Ready? Yeah. Okay. Through the what future? What? I hear a lot of blah, 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 blah. Messiah in the future and what?
Distant.
Okay, future is distant.
Near.
Near and. Okay, let's try to read this together, okay? 1, 2, 3. God's plan for judgment and deliverance through Messiah in the near and distant future, right? I tried to use the ands as a mnemonic for you guys, right? Because there's two ands in there. So that's a mnemonic for you to memorize that. Let's try it one more time. Close your eyes if you can. Ready? 1, 2, 3. God's plan and deliverance through Messiah in the near and distant future, right? Okay. If you guys have questions about that, I talked about that briefly already with you. But we see both judgment and deliverance. We see both the promise of the coming Messiah, but also what he will do in the distant future. That's a lot of end times talk. There's a lot of eschatological talk, right? That's a fancy word for end times. There's a lot of eschatological talk about what Messiah will ultimately do, right? The Messiah was promised to Israel. The Savior that will ultimately not only bring salvation for people, but an ultimate conquest over the enemy of God. Right? How far back in the Old Testament do you see the promise that there will be one who will completely destroy and conquer the enemy of God? How far back do you see that? Genesis chapter 3. What verse, Daniel? Okay, very good. I think it's 14, it's in the teens, like 14 or 15, 15, I think, 3:15. What does it say when Daniel says it was promised in the beginning that there will be a one of the seed of the woman who will, what will he do? What does it say that he will conquer and utterly destroy the enemy? Is it 3:15? Correct me if I'm wrong, please. Yeah. It is not 3:15?
Yeah.
Okay, what does this say?
I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring
okay.
and your offspring.
Okay, I'll put enmity between who?
You and the woman, the serpent.
You and the woman, the serpent. There will be a hostility between you. Right? Between evil and the people of God. And then what, Joshua? What else does it say?
He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel.
He shall bruise your head and you shall what? And he shall what?
Bruise his heel.
I'm sorry, I can't understand. You're mumbling here, guys.
He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
You shall bruise his heel. What? Am I cloudy here?
That's what mine said.
Yeah, yeah. He shall bruise your head, right? And you shall bruise his heel. Okay? This is what's often called the first gospel, the proto-evangelion, right? The first gospel, the first mention, the first taste of the gospel. He will bruise your heel, right? The heel, can you destroy someone from the heel? No, you cannot, but you can destroy someone from the head, right? And so there's a picture that, yes, the seed coming from you will be bruised. Where do we find wording like that? That the one who comes from the seed of the woman, the one that is promised, will be bruised. Who says that he will be like a bruised reed? Isaiah says that the chosen one, the one of the line of David, the chosen Messiah, will be bruised. He will be bruised like a bruised reed. Okay? However, the same seed will then crush the head of the enemy, which we will also see in Isaiah, right? There's a lot of that going on in Isaiah. So, Messiah is all over the book of... did I say Messiah is all over the book of Isaiah? Oh, they sound so similar. I thought I said Isaiah is in the book of Messiah. Okay. Bear with me. Thank you. Right? Okay. So, good review. Let's try the theme statement one more time because you guys are that smart. You're all smart little Asian people in here. Okay. One, two, three.
God's plan for judgment and deliverance.
Good. Okay. Somebody got the mnemonic in there. And, okay, that's going to help you. Okay, very good. All right, where am I here? I'm stuck. Okay, we looked at a lot of scholars who said that Isaiah is often called a what? A Bible within a Bible, right? Isn't that interesting? Why? Because we saw that how many chapters are there in Isaiah? Okay, how many chapters are there in the first half of Isaiah that we would bracket it? Do you guys remember? Okay, yeah, I'm giving you guys little hints here. Woo! How many books in the Old Testament? Ooh. 39. How many books in the New Testament? I'm flashing here for you guys. 27. Good, right? So we see what in the first half? We see a lot of the judgment in the first half. Not that there is not judgment in the second half. Okay, if you're a smart student, you say, wait a second. There, I see judgment also in the second half. Yes. But mostly judgment in the first half. That's the weight of it. Second half, we see more so predominantly a lot of the compassion, the deliverance, the salvation. Okay, very good. Isn't this a beautiful book? Hallelujah. Any hallelujahs out there?
Hallelujah.
Okay, good. All right. And we see the arc. We see the arc that is over Isaiah being that the promised Messiah, the coming Savior who will bring peace and salvation. Okay, that's the arc. Arcing is a, if you're ever interested in understanding how some people interpret the Bible, John Piper uses a particular hermeneutic called arcing. Anyways, sorry. Did we talk about this question yet?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, here we go. The first half, we saw that Israel is going to be conquered by who? Assyria. And later on in the book, in the latter half, this is Isaiah prophesying the exile of Judah by who? Babylon. Let me read a few things about this for you, okay? The king of Assyria stands for the power and philosophy of godlessness. Okay, that's what we've seen. If you've been doing your devotions, you see that already, Okay? The arrogant human assertion that there is no God and that we can live as we please. We're accountable to no greater moral power, that we inhabit a mindless, almost a deterministic, materialistic universe, okay? And this kind of grinds us to insignificance. You guys with me? We can do nothing in this life except enjoy this time until we die. That's what represents the king of Assyria. You with me? Isn't this very similar to our world today? Okay. In what ways do you see these things today in the modern world? Okay, get in your groups of like just two or three, max three, please. And discuss this. In what ways do you see this type of attitude in the world today? You might think of what's humanistic. Okay, I mean, if you've ever taken history, world history, how many of you have already taken world history? Okay, I mean, you guys could probably even think of governments, right? Type of ideologies that are humanistic, right? Okay, so if you guys have that, go ahead and discuss, you know, whether it's in governments, whether it's in anything. You could see it in people around you. You could see it on TV. Okay, so go ahead and discuss this in your groups for just, you know, a few minutes, okay? Go ahead. Okay, be specific, guys. Try to be specific. We don't like generalizations here. Okay. What do you guys think? Okay, what do you guys think? What side of the, whoa, there's some crazy stuff going on right here. This group seems like they're having a lot of fun, okay? Should we start from this front group and see what they're saying?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Group in the front, what are you guys saying? In what ways do we see this type of mentality today?
We see it in, or we especially see it in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, wow, Las Vegas?
Yeah. Sin City.
Oh, Sin City.
Yeah, gambling.
Because there's no sin in Los Angeles. Only Las Vegas.
See it in the world, but it's especially apparent.
Oh, is it? Okay, good. So we don't see sin in Hollywood or anything. Okay. Okay, good. All right. Is that all you got?
Talk about the philosophy you talked about.
Talk about what?
I just gave an example and see what kind of explained it.
Okay, which is what?
Just like human race, like almost like kind of like what Hitler was looking for. Like,
oh, what Hitler was looking for. What is he trying to look for?
He's like talking about like blonde hair, blue eyes, and like.
Okay, blonde hair, blue eyes, yeah.
Like superior, like race.
Okay, what does that have to do with this?
What we also want to add is like it's like earn all you can, spend all you can, it doesn't matter how you accomplish it. And then like there's also that older phrase, it's like YOLO, and you kind of just do whatever you want.
Oh, what is YOLO? You only live once. YOLO is what? You only live what?
Once.
Okay, yeah, that's very much like you know what? You only live once, you gotta do what you gotta do to enjoy life. Right? What's more important? Well, I got to enjoy my life. I got to do this. Have you guys heard of a thing called the bucket list? How a lot of people have bucket lists? I have to do that. Interesting. Who tells you that? Who says that you have to cover all these things on your bucket list?
It's a movie.
Oh, it's a movie. Oh, that's where it comes from.
Yeah,
that's where it comes from? Okay, the bucket list. Okay, let's move down this table. Anybody else in this table who has something to say about how we see this play out in the world today?
Well, there was like the philosophy of like hedonism.
Okay, hedonism.
That's basically...
What is hedonism? That's such a fancy word, guys.
Live as you please.
Live as you please? Okay.
Like just enjoy or pursue like pleasure.
Okay, for your own happiness, right? Okay, good. All right, anything else at the end?
Yeah, I think we said the same thing pretty much across the board from, you know, the president and everyone on down.
Oh, okay.
The work hard, play hard mentality.
Okay.
A lot of self-preservation.
Right.
Everything you do is for yourself.
Okay.
Or a better future, whatever.
Okay. Very narcissistic, right? It's very self. Even work hard, play hard. How many of you guys have that mentality in your life? Work hard, play hard. Raise your hand. Nobody has a work hard, play hard? Nancy just said that's bad. Right? Yeah. Because when you play, you're thinking, I got to work hard and play hard and enjoy work as much as I can, enjoy play as much as I can, but it's all about you, right? Is there a way to have God in that picture? I think there is. How about in the back there? Greedy. There's a lot of greed in the world today. We are greedy too, right? Okay. Any other thing on this table to add to that? Right. Where did all the communist governments in Asia come from? Did it come from an Asian guy? No. Was Mao Zedong original?
No.
No. Come on, you guys. Anybody who studied world history, where did Mao Zedong's ideas, ideology come from? Huh? Yeah, Russia. Who? Karl Marx. Who was before Marx? Lenin. Lenin?
Yeah, reverse.
Who?
Russia is Lenin and Stalin.
That's right.
And their ideology comes from German philosopher Karl Marx.
Right.
And the Engels.
That's right. So look, it's not original even to Asia, okay? The whole business surrounding World War II, all of the communist mentalities didn't even stem from Asia. Mao Zedong only tried to perfect that, right? Pol Pot, you know, only try to perfect that, right? All this Ho Chi Minh try to perfect that. Who are you talking about? Adolf Hitler, was he original? No, he was not original. These are all humanistic philosophies, right? Where basically you end up with the mentality that human life does not mean anything. Okay, good. Anything else? So we see a lot of greed though, right? We see it in we see it in governments. We see it also, Susie said, also in the capitalistic structure, right? Even in democracy and capitalism, we see a lot of greed. What drives Adam Smith? What, okay, I'm getting too deep, right? But what drives all that stuff? What drives economy? Human greed. Right? Okay, great. In what ways, now talk in your groups, does this type of mentality, because it's so prevalent in the world, how does that creep into your own life? Ooh, now it's going to be really quiet. Because do you like to talk that deep on a Sunday morning? Now, come on, Pastor Alex, you're sick. Avoid these type of questions. Okay, go talk. How does this creep into your own life? What areas of this materialistic, humanistic mentality creep into your own life? The YOLO mentality. The work hard, play hard, hedonistic, narcissistic mentality. The greedy mentality creep into your own life. Go. Thank you. talk more about Babylon next week. You know, Assyria, I think there's a lot of things that you can see that really, 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 really kind of creeps into your own life. We see the influence of the world. When we think about the key teachings of God, okay, this is a slide I want to look at briefly. There are many things that we could pick up in the book of Isaiah about God. And I don't like doing this too much. It's just there's so many things. I didn't want to just narrow it down to one. We will take some time to talk about these in the next several weeks, and then Isaiah is going to be over. The devotional book, Living Life, won't even let us, I'm not sure if we're going to even finish the book of Isaiah, but it gets to the good part. Okay, so it does get to the good part. It gets into the good part, but we won't go through all 66 chapters, I believe. So I'm going to try to cram some of these in there. And just take a picture and then, you know, we'll move on. But one of the key things, according even to our theme, is that we see God planning to raise up an ideal king from David's line. And he's going to elevate Jerusalem through this person's reign of peace. Okay, let's just focus on that first one. And I'm going to ask you a question. How many weeks have you been reading Isaiah in your devotionals now? How many weeks? About 3 weeks. Good. Kaping says 3 weeks you've been reading the devotionals on Isaiah after Psalms, right? And the first thing I mentioned here and the theme is the one of the key teachings we need to look for. And by the way, I shared this with you already before. As you read through Isaiah, look for these things. Specifically, look for messianic prophecy. Look for where they are, where you think they might be talking about the promised Christ, right? So, my question to you is, what have you seen so far in your daily readings? What have you seen so far as you've read through Isaiah? Now we are at chapter what? What chapter are we on? 18, for those of you guys doing devotion. Good. 17, 18. Right? Good. I think 18 might have been today. Very good. Okay, so 17 yesterday. So Nancy's right and Joshua's right. Good. You guys are doing devotions, right? What do you find about this ideal king? What have you seen so far? Somebody who's been reading the Bible should tell me, yeah, I remember at least this one thing. Anything? Have you guys found anything? And is this a trick question? Maybe there's nothing, right? I'll go Pastor James' route right here, right? Maybe I'm actually tricking you, right? Not that he's tricking you, right? I'm looking at Cindy, right? But he says, there's no wrong answer. But like Preston says, yeah, when he taught Sunday school stuff for you, he had a wrong answer in mind. I was so afraid to say it because he's going to be like, no, that's wrong. Okay? Has there been any prophecy about the ideal king? In Isaiah, we've read 17, 18 chapters so far. Have you seen anything, yes or no? Has there been or no? Maybe there's nothing. Talk in your groups and give me one if you find one. And I wouldn't recommend only looking at your devotional. You want to look at the Bible, right? Because your devotional starts only from chapter 11 for this month. So what have you seen in Isaiah? Is there anything that talks about the promised Messiah in the first 17 chapters? Is there even one? Do you want me to tell you the answer? Has there been one? How about let me challenge you so you don't use your devotional, Nancy, okay? How about starting before chapter 11? First. Chapter 9. Talk with your group. Talk with your group. Yeah, sure. Let's see how many you guys can find as a group in 2 minutes. Okay, go. We're going before chapter 11, so you don't only use your devotional book. You got to use the actual Bible. Is there anything? You guys have to work in here. You guys have to work. When you guys work hard, I start to feel a little bit better. Have you seen anything about the Messiah, promised Messiah? Okay, one more minute.
Chapter 11?
Yes, because I just didn't want you to use your devotional books for right now. Huh? Okay, good. Has there been at least one? Is there more than one? Is there two? Three? Okay, let's see how many guys come up with. Ready? That's 2 minutes. Okay, let's start from this side. How many have you guys found in this group?
Chapter 9.
Okay. Okay, so one verse. How about you guys? Bex and Lucy. Okay. Chapter 7? No. No? 9? Okay. Okay, Darren, Sam? 7:14. Okay, 7:14. Okay. And Susie and Elsie? Okay, same thing. How about in the back?
We have chapter 9, 6, and 7, and then chapter 10, I guess. Chapter 10, 3.
Okay, good. How about over there? Nancy, Cindy? 7:14. Okay. Anything else? Okay, coming down the line, Sarah, Ellie? Same. Kai? Daniel, I just called you Darren. Saviera, how about this group up here? Same? Okay, let's see if we find any prophecies. Are you guys right or not? Do we see at least 7:14 up here? Okay, there's several places where we already see prophecies where they are listed and they are fulfilled. Okay? You see that the Jews are going to have a hardened heart against the Messiah. Remember, some of these prophecies have both immediate effect on the Israelites and people of Judah at that time, but also continues, okay? So yes, we absolutely see 7:13 and 14. That's one of the most popular ones, right? What is it telling us? That the Messiah will be a descendant of David. He will be born of a virgin. He will be called Emmanuel. Right? Right? You see that. He's going to be a stumbling stone in chapter 8. Messiah is going to minister in Galilee. Okay? He's going to be a light to the Gentiles. Birth of the Messiah. So we see that. Now my question to you is, do you find one in chapter 11 through 17? And the answer to that is yes. Chapter 11 is straight up what Daniel says, straight up, right in verse 1, boom, kicking off, prophesying about our coming Messiah. Okay, do you see that? And this was our devotion starting in September. You should have been picking that up immediately, right? Bam. Even the devotions beginning this week. I think it was this week, right? I don't have the book. What does it say? I think this week, right? Right when we came back from the retreat. Monday. Oh, no, it wasn't that one. That's 14. Tuesday. Oh, what was Tuesday talking about? Tuesday's devotionals was talking about who? Satan. You know what's really cool about this devotional? They didn't even talk about that prophecy. They talked about how it immediately applies to whom? Who is it talking about? The king of Babylon. This is really cool. The devotional's helping you see that there is a practical prophecy that's going to be fulfilled, but it's also pointing to the original fall of Satan. Isn't that cool? Right? So I like the devotional that they did that. They didn't even mention that that was specifically talking about Satan. Right? So what we see here already, notice the progression of Isaiah. Notice his progression. What is chapter 6 about? Chapter 6 has a famous passage of Isaiah. We should all know that. Right? What was it? What happened in chapter 6? You guys should know this Bam. Any like Sunday school person should know Isaiah 6. What is Isaiah 6? When Isaiah, what happens in chapter 6? He saw what? He saw God? Right? What? I'm sorry, you just mumbled there. People are mumbling. Right? But he saw the glory of God, right? Fill the temple. And as soon as he saw who God is, the glory of God, was his response like, hallelujah, amen, let's sing, let's dance in front of God. What was his response? Whoa. Is me. Who is that little sound? Oh, that's my I was like, that sound like my son. That's weird. I didn't even know you're in here. Right? Whoa is me. When you see God, it should not be a let me yippity skippity around. There's something about the greatness of God that should cause us to be like, whoa is me. Not just whoa, God. It should be, I am a man who is unclean. I live among a people who is unclean. That should be your response. Your response before God ought not to be, oh, you're just like my sweet old, you're like an old grandpa guy. I could just cuddle up on your leg. You know, it should be, whoa, I'm unclean. And that was Isaiah. He said, I am ruined. I am ruined. I am at the end. I am destroyed. I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty. In other words, Isaiah wonders, how can such an immense, great, holy, mighty, awesome God do anything but destroy the rebellious, disobedient people like me? That's the right attitude to come before God. Where is salvation for people like us? Where would it come from? We are ruined. We are ruined before an almighty God, before the holy God. You see that? He says, where is salvation? Where should this kind of God should not save us? This is the kind of God who should destroy us. You with me on that? This is the kind of God who should utterly destroy me. When I think about the rebellion, when I think about the worldliness creeping into my life, when I think about the living under YOLO, under bucket lists, under living for myself, when I see the selfishness of myself, I ought not to even think of God for salvation. The first thing I think about is God's destruction of me. Where would I find salvation from the wrath of this God, right? It should almost be like someone else other than God needs to save me from God, right? You get that? We live in a world where yeah, see, we have we get to hindsight 2020 and see all this, but that's what Isaiah is saying. Most of us do not have Isaiah's perspective on the immensity and holiness of God and a recognition of really how deserving we are of God's total wrath and destruction because our rebellion and disobedience. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it is so hard for us to have Isaiah's perspective? Why is it that we don't have Isaiah's perspective? Why, when we think about God, we don't first go, whoa. Why is it that sometimes when you think about God, you don't even go, whoa, at all? You with me on that? Talk about that in your group. Why is it that we have a hard time with that? Talk about yourself personally. If you're not comfortable talking about yourself personally, talk about other Christians. Which means you. But just say, well, other Christians. Okay, go ahead. And we'll end with this. One more minute for discussion, okay? Okay, let's come back together. We're going to close. Why did you guys feel... Okay. Let's come back together. What did you guys feel about this? Why do you think that is? And is it okay? Because we do have Jesus today. Is our first thought supposed to be, oh, God's going to crush me, and my prayers are filled with this, like, desolation and this, you know, this overwhelming fear that God is always just waiting to crush me? You know, should we have that, you know? But why do we not have any of that sometimes, right? Because not necessarily that what I'm saying here is to encourage that, but that we need to have some type of recognition, right? Why do you guys think is? We'll start from the group in the back. Why do you think this is that we don't have that the perspective that Isaiah has? The tax collector and the Pharisee praying. Okay. Yes.
Look at them.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I'm not as bad as them.
Yeah, I'm much better.
So the Pharisee said what? Thank God. Thank you, God. I am not like that. Right. Wow. How many of you guys think that way? And are honest enough to say it? Okay, good. Anybody else? Any other group want to share something? How about this table?
There's no like immediate punishment for like, okay,
I see.
Because like when you like disobey your parents, maybe it's like, okay, I did something wrong, I get grounded,
okay.
Stuff taken away.
Okay.
When you say it's kind of just like, oh,
does God punish us? Ooh, we'll talk about that. Okay. Does God punish? Does he discipline? What is punishment? What is discipline? Okay, how about this side? Any other thoughts there?
I think, like, we have the Holy Spirit and we have Jesus, so I think that kind of takes away from, like, our fear of the Lord.
Okay.
Even though, as, you know, Pastor James mentioned, in Corbin's retreat, as spiritual retreat, even, like, the fear of the Lord and the throne of God, so it's still supposed to be there. We don't think of it because we look at, like, the...
Right. We do get to see the whole picture, don't we? We get to see the whole picture of what Christ has done. That's why it's hard for us sometimes. But sometimes you'll hear a phrase today that says, preach the gospel to yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself often. Christians need to hear the gospel over and over again because we need to be reminded of the depth of our sin, which once was. To remember the greatness of God's grace that he had upon us, right? We also need to take opportunities like today for communion, where we truly get to examine ourselves and say, yes, I am no longer a sinner bound by sin. I am a saint called by God because of Christ. However, even my small sin, even my little sins, the sins that I harbor inside are still ought to be offenseful to God, right? My white acceptable sins, my white lies, my hidden jealousies, my hidden anger, my hidden bitterness, my hidden resentment towards people, all of that still is a stain. And we ought to say, God, when I think of that, I'm undone. I can't believe I'm still, you freed me from this, but I still dwell in this. Give me a reminder of the power of the gospel, which has given me a new life to overcome this. Remind me of the victory that I have in Christ. Remind me that I ought not live in this sin anymore. You don't see the sin in me. You see Christ in me. But I need to continue to detest the sin in my life. Do you detest it? Do you see it as something that goes, ah, I need the coal to burn my lips off because I'm a man of unclean lips? Imagine a hot piece of coal touching your lips. right? We have to have that type of detesting of our sin. So I hope that we leave with that thought, that Isaiah's example of that, but we'll see where Isaiah goes with this, okay? But I want us to leave with that thought, that God ought not to have provided us a Savior in Jesus Christ. But through his plan from Genesis 3:15, from the fall of man and woman, God already planned the rescue. And that was to show us his love. And ultimately, that our Savior will crush the head of the serpent. He will conquer the enemy. We will one day not have any sin in our life. And we will be living in new bodies in the new heaven and the new earth. That's the whole story of the Bible, isn't it? And God had that set from the very beginning. Okay, hallelujah. All right, let's have somebody pray for us, please, to close.
Through our devotions or as we even discussing and proof, Lord. Yeah, let's reflect upon that, Lord, that our life is not our own, but it is yours, Lord, and that you have given this this new life that we can overcome our own sins by your strength, Lord. I want to pray for also Pastor Alex and the translator and chairman and also the pianist, Lord. As they're serving today, Lord, may you just keep their eyes on you, Lord. And for those that are sick, Lord, may you just heal them. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.